I don't know. The question is, if you're going for high efficiency for milk production, are you jeopardizing reproduction performance? Yeah, a compromise. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Dave. Great, no problem. And I apologize. Thank you, Mark. I started you late. I'm trying to give everyone their full time, though, so let's move to the next presentation by Claudia Wagner-Riddle, and she's going to talk about greenhouse gas emissions from storage and field application of anaerobic digestate.
Hey, good morning, everyone. And I just wanted to, whoever's managing the lights, if you cannot make it as dark, I'd like to see if everybody's paying attention. Okay, see your faces. Anyway, so I'm Claudia Wagner-Riddle. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Leah, Emily, and Sebastian, are graduate students. And then John Lozon, Andy, who already spoke here today, Craig, who I see over there, and Anna Krola, who are collaborators in this work. This is part of a larger project aimed at studying greenhouse gas mitigation strategies in dairy livestock cropping systems, where we're trying to look at all of the components that contribute to emissions, as we just heard Mark talk about, in a dairy system. The funding is from Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada through the Agriculture Greenhouse Gas Program and also Dairy Farmers of Canada, as well as several other supporters. I'm going to concentrate on the manure storage component. There are several promising mitigation technologies that we have looked at. Andy Vanderzag presented some of the results that we've obtained through, in the third point there, the methanogen inoculum reduction. I'm going to concentrate today, as the title of my talk says, on the anaerobic digestion, particularly farm scale assessment of the greenhouse gas emissions associated with that. So our research objectives are listed here, and just acknowledging the graduate student contribution. So in the first place, we want to look at the avoided methane emissions that are associated with anaerobic digestion. And the second component is to look at the downstream soil nitrous oxide emissions that may be changed due to now application of digestate compared to manure. So in a very simplified way, what we're interested in, sort of the baseline in dairy systems, which are managed mostly as liquid manure, gets stored in our area, it's in concrete tanks, and then gets applied for agricultural use. And then a mitigation project situation is that that manure will go into an anaerobic digester, which will operate some biogas devices, and then the digestate will be stored for a length of time before agricultural use. This, of course, is not as simple as that. There's more complications, even not shown here, but the first of all is that most biogas systems use some kind of off-farm material to enhance the biogas production. So we're basically promoting methane emissions, the very greenhouse gas that we want to reduce in these systems. Of course, this has a very, the reason we're interested in this is because this is a renewable source of energy, so we're replacing fossil fuel use with biogas. So, of course, this is good, right? That's all what we're trying to do, is reduce greenhouse gas emissions. But we're scientists, so we're not just accepting that that's green energy. We're investigating, well, what are some other effects of that? So this liquid digestate storage will potentially emit ammonia and methane, which could be avoided, particularly the methane part, or perhaps enhanced, because now we have these systems that are really good at producing methane that get this material gets stored for a length of time. There are also fugitive emissions from the anaerobic digester itself, as well as in this case for the farmer that we're studying, there's a solid separator where some of the solid part gets recycled to use as bedding in the barn, so there are emissions associated with that. And then soil emissions once agricultural this material is applied to soils. So in my talk, I will concentrate on methane emissions from the digestate, as well as some experiments, the results with the nitrous oxide associated with the digestate application. So this is a farm that you may recognize from Andy Vanderzag's slide. We've been doing some work there for a while. He's a very good collaborator. He actually won the Sustainability Award from the Dairy Farmers of Canada and has put up with us for a few years now. This is a naturally ventilated freestall barn, relatively small, I think, by U.S. standards, and high productivity. It's a two-stage digester with a high retention time compared to many of the other digesters that are in operation. It became operational in May 2012. That's when the first dairy manure was added. And over time, he has increased the amount of off-farm materials. He's very cautious, actually a chemical engineer. So biodigestion is not for every producer, as it's quite complicated. And he has started his system off slowly to try to learn how they work, and only added more off-farm material over time. The tank is shown here, the 30 diameter tank. Before August 2012, it stored untreated manure, and after that, after September 2012, digestate started being added. We've been there since 2010, so we don't have a side-by-side comparison of untreated and digestate, but over time comparison. We're all adults here, so I don't think anybody eats chicken nuggets anymore, but so just not to turn you off from chicken nuggets, this is what gets some of the examples of off-farm materials that get added in mixed pasteurized before they get loaded onto the anaerobic digester. Also waste from cookie dough, which unfortunately I don't have a picture of, chicken manure, and then beef DAF sludge lately. So not an ideal place to do anything controlled experiment, but we do think it's of value to be on a commercial farm doing some of these measurements. Just to give you an idea of the composition, so which is typically seen that the pH goes up between the manure and the digestate. This is a picture here of the liquid dairy manure and then of the digestate and of the solids that get separated. And we're burning off carbon through this system, so logically we have a decrease in the total and volatile solids. We have done quite extensive sampling. I'm not going to present all of that. A lot of it is still trying to make sense of it. So here is a picture of when the digester was still being constructed, and what was loaded was the untreated manure. And then here we're doing measurements year round. So I'll talk a little bit about the methods. We have three towers placed here that have gas sampling equipment, and then a wind tower to get wind direction and wind speed. We're using a mass balance method, or also called the integrated horizontal flux measurement, where we get the horizontal flux at an out position. It depending on the wind speed, we aligned the different towers, and the in position, we get a flux as well. So the difference between those two is what is coming from our source, and we're also dependent on the path that the wind takes over the source, which is this fetch shown here as L. We have a close-up here of the air sampling system. There are four inlets on each of the three towers, as well as four wind cup measurements at the same height. So 4 times 3, we get 12 streams of air coming into a manifold, and one at a time, the air gets directed through an analyzer. Every 12 and a half seconds, we switch. So we switch through the system quite frequently and get then methane concentrations at a rate of 10 hertz. So we're collecting also some supporting data here shown for part of the measurement campaigns 2010 in black and then 2011. Manure temperature peaking sometime in August, September. We do see this faster warming up of the digestate, which we still have to make a bit sense of it, but this is a mesophilic reactor, so the temperatures are, part of the energy is used to keep the temperature of the manure high, or the anaerobic digester higher. So we saw in 2003 at least, I haven't looked at the 2014 data, but an increase in temperature that could have an effect. But for the first part now, I will show you the flux then of methane in micrograms per meter squared per second. These are daily averages obtained from our half hourly measurements per day after filtering for good wind direction and so on. So in 2010, seeing here the peak in August and September, when the highest temperatures occur, 2011, we're still waiting for the anaerobic digester to finish construction. It was good because we got a good data set of before anaerobic digester functioning. Then we took a bit of a break, and 2012 went back in preparation that the digestate was now going to be loaded into the tank. So this is also emissions from manure. And then we get the digestate, so quite low emissions. There's a bit of difference in terms of amount of manure in the tank that I will correct for in the next slide. And then 2013. So we felt really good about this. It's like, looks like a big reduction in emissions. If we scale this by take into account the area of the tank and the amount of manure in the tank, meters cube of manure, for the two sets, we get a total of 4.6 for the raw manure compared to 1.1, so almost like an 80% reduction, which corresponds to 88 kilograms of CO2 equivalent per meter cube in a whole year. Well, we felt, as I said, good about this. Then Andy got some additional funding from Environment Canada, so let's measure one more year. What the heck, we're already there anyway. So this is what I will show here. And like, uh-oh, so I'm going, should I actually show this at the conference or not? Hide this data. Anyway, so I don't actually have a good answer to what is happening here. I've taken a quick look. We don't have all the analysis of this manure because this is just like hot off the press, end of October data. We have some analysis for the spring that shows an increase in dry matter and volatile solids, which probably have to do with the increased amount of off-farm materials that are being added at this site. Because again, I mean, what is an anaerobic digester for? To produce a lot of energy, produce a lot of methane, right? And he did have also some problems with one of the digesters so that the retention time was slightly reduced. So when I take some of this now into account, I didn't consider September-October data because there's still some filtering issues, so it's not final, but even just considering the 3 months here, June, July, and August, now our reduction is much less, so we're down to 40 kilograms of CO2 equivalent per meter cube per year. Now, is it fair to compare this digestate or emissions from digestate to just manure? Probably not, right? So we need to consider the avoided landfill emissions of these food wastes that normally go to landfill. There are also fugitive emissions, so Andy has had his open path laser at the site to get the whole farm emissions that we will be able to deduce the emissions just from the anaerobic digester, and as well ammonia emissions haven't been taken into account. So I see I have 5 minutes left, and that should be enough to just quickly give you a sense of our N2O emissions. We have two experiments, one that used digestate from another farm close to Ottawa that is a single reactor, and that has been done on sandy loam and clay, where the clay was tile drained, and we also looked at fall and spring. And for the same farm where we're doing the methane emissions, we've taken the digestate to a research farm on a loam soil, and we've been looking at different methods of application and timing. This has been done for a year. We're just concluding the second year on that study. So we're doing weekly chamber samplings throughout the year, a bit less frequent through the winter time. But then, and we get pulses of spring thaw, which are shown here, which are very important to consider in our cold climates. And here's a picture of Emily taking gas samples. So the summary of her results for years 1 and 2, on the sandy loam, which is a lower pH soil, we're seeing a significant increase due to digestate application. No effect on the clay. And we saw that over 2 years and not any effect in terms of timing. This increase, and these are quite high emissions from this soil compared to what we've measured at other sites, even at the clay soil site, which is tile drained. This corresponds to an increase in 44 kilograms of CO2 equivalent, which is comparable to the reduction in methane emissions. The other site for year 1, we have not seen any significant effect, although there's a bit of an increase here with the surface applied for both types of materials. So in conclusion, we have seen significant reductions in 1 year for the methane, but not in the second year. It was an increase of 3 times compared to the previous year. We've seen increases in soil N2O emissions, and these were of similar magnitude. And we're going to combine all of this data with composition data in terms of the digestate and off-farm materials, as well as the volumes to do carbon and nitrogen balances to try to do a complete life cycle analysis. And with that, I'd like to thank you all. John? Yes, I think he's getting this current summer. He's had some issues with foaming and high methane production. And actually, the student did notice that there has been a bit of bubbling in the tank. And I was there end of September, and we were getting very concentrations of methane in the 30 to 40 parts per million close to the tank, so it's definitely a lot of, so it's not really it's operational, but think, still trying to manage it, I guess, in a way that optimizes production. Mary?
Well, you was the digest saying the current nitrogen ratio did decrease to cause the N2O to
I don't have on the top of my head the values on that sandy soil site, you mean?
The one right there was 44 kilos.
Yes. I don't have the numbers on the top of my head, but one of the things that I did think or notice is that the sandy soil site has a pH quite a bit low, around 6.5 compared to 8 for the clay. So maybe it's also an effect of pH.
Or maybe you reduced your ammonia losses.
Or the ammonia, yeah, exactly. We did, I should mention there has been, we've also doing some ammonia measurements on that as well as leaching on the two sites, leaching estimates, so to be able to tell that.
Great,
yeah.
Any chance the big difference you saw in 1 year was difference in the food waste that went in?
Yeah, yes. Well, the chicken nuggets were actually, that was the start. He started sort of with simpler materials, I guess, and now he's adding chicken waste and the beef daff sludge. So those are more recent ones, yes. So it is the complication of doing on-farm research. But yeah, we hope to be able to tease out at least some of those effects.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.